You don't like it? Keep listening. Yo, it's a Saturday, I'm home, 6:30 chilling, surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling, laying on Blog Talk, see what they feeling. Came across the barbershop, stepped into the building, real life sports talk, real entertainment. Mike Knox really keeps his ear into the pavement, finger on the pulse of the industry, save it. You don't like the way brag, you ain't gotta say shh. Listen anyway, every Thursday, him and Corey G, tell him what you tripping on any day. Barbershop mixed with talk show, there we go. Give you the best damn show on the radio. $1 million audience meets with your favorite host. $1 million connections, feel the force. Most electric, most eclectic. Listen to the shows where the pros expected. 2 shows a week with an A-class guest list. The best damn show on the radio. Check this.
The best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show on the radio. Yo, it's the best damn show in radio.
Welcome back once again. BDSIR Network presents the Sports Authority and Other Stuff. And this week, man, we're going to look at, well, the first weekend of football. We have, I don't know if we said we had some surprises, but we had some games that didn't go quite the way we think they would go. We had some players that didn't play quite the way we thought they'd play. And last week we ended the show with a quick take on Kaepernick. Tonight, you know, I'm going to give Paris a chance to give his, you know, his take without having to rush. I'm going to give my opinion on that situation because it's actually still an ongoing situation. So with that said, let me bring in my man, P-Dawg. What is going on, brother? How are you doing this evening?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. Can't complain besides the fact that the Bears didn't win and a couple of my fantasy teams decided not to show up Sunday. I mean, you know, but what can you do about that? Otherwise,
choose a better you can draft a better team, sir. I went 5-0 this
week. Yeah, I think that's it. I think I need to fire the coach for because if I'd have played Theo Riddick, I would have won their league.
Well, you know, you got to fight. If you're going to blame the coach, I guess I can't say nothing else to you because you are the coach, the owner, the facilitator, and the general manager. So if you're going to take responsibility,
yes.
I can't say nothing to you, brother.
I take full responsibility. But one thing I do know, championships are not won and lost on week one. So
Man, dude, isn't that the truth? Because last year I started off 5-0-2, and I ended up losing in the championship in one league, not making the playoffs in another league. Although my downfall with that league is that I dropped Freeman, and then that's the week he got the start. So that explains that. So yeah. But before we get too deep into the specifics, do you have any surprises from this weekend's games, or you know, good and bad? Surprise good, surprise bad. What you got?
I was surprised good, I would say, is nice to see Andrew Luck is back, looks like he's going to be, you know, back in his normal form. And I say that as a selfish Andrew Luck owner. Not too many running backs did anything of note. That D'Angelo Williams is real good. It makes you wonder, do they really need Le'Veon Bell? Okay, I was too far, I know. Antonio Brown is still a bad man. And obviously, it looks like the Patriots are going back to the Super Bowl because nobody can really beat them. And the Cardinals, I thought, really laid an egg. I mean, it's only week one. You know, you definitely can't overreact to week one, but if it was one team that I expected to see more from, it was the Cardinals. You know, they're a trendy Super Bowl pick. And you can't lose that game at home to the Patriots without Brady, without Gronk, without Solar. I mean, you just can't lose that game, especially in the fashion that they did, taking a field goal with the game on line. But otherwise, hey, I'm just happy that football is back, and I pray that I never have to watch the Rams again, like forever.
Dude, I literally fell asleep last night trying to watch that game. And I mean, part of it was me being, you know, tired, quite honestly, because, like I told you, I was like a kid at Christmas, man. I didn't even get in the bed Saturday night. I was down here on the couch. I fell asleep. I woke up at like 5 in the morning, and I said, nope, I'm not going to bed. If I go to bed, I might wake up afternoon. So I need to make sure I get up right about 9:30, start looking at stuff. And so I was kind of feeling it because I stayed up Sunday night to watch the game, woke up Monday to go to work, and I was kind of feeling it last night. So part of it was me being tired. The other part of it was, dude, I had no interest in that game outside of my fantasy need of Hyde. I could care less.
Right.
And the fact that, you know, we were talking at work today, the fact that Jeff Fisher is the only person that can't see that Case Keenum is not the answer at quarterback. Even if you think that Goff isn't the answer, put in somebody else, man. That dude just is not. He had a great college career. He's not made for the NFL. And I'm trying to figure out how this guy keeps getting, you know, I don't want to say job after job because he hasn't had a bunch of jobs, but he's had longevity. And I don't know how he hasn't gotten fired. At some point, the NFL needs to, well, I shouldn't say the NFL, but at some point, in my, you know, for what I'd like to see new blood. I mean, if you're a successful
right.
coach, if you have a record of success and you keep getting jobs, and by success, Paris, I don't mean championships. I don't mean rings. Everybody can't win the Super Bowl. But this dude has been borderline 500 or less for most of his career. And yet he still has a job. So, you know, that was what it was. Go ahead.
You know what I think has happened the past couple of years in regards to St. Louis Rams? It seems like they, you know, they're a trash team. Somehow they managed to beat Seattle, like, the past 3 years. They managed to beat them 1-5. They win maybe one or two more games that they aren't supposed to win. And at the end of the year, you look up, you see 7-9 and 6-10. And everybody, when I say everybody, I'm talking about the TV heads, slurp their defense and talk about how Jeff Fisher is you know, building this thing the right way, and he's going to get him on track, and lo and behold, we have to look at him another year. But I think even though he got that contract extension, I don't see how he survives another year. If they go 4-12, 5-11, like I would predict now, I don't see no way in heck you can bring him back to that L.A. fan. And it's just obvious. You don't watch the game last night. I remember seeing such a prehistoric game plan before in my life. To me, it was obvious they tried to run every first down. I mean, it just became to the part where I was like, it looked like they weren't even trying to score. You know, you get Tavon Austin, you know, $42 million extension. He's about 5'3", and can only catch screen passes. I mean, they're just a mess. They really are.
Yeah. And with that said, I'll give you something that I shouldn't say surprised, but it was good to see this dude doing it again. One, because, you know, I've enjoyed watching him play. Two, because this is the first year I've actually had him on fantasy. Drew Brees goes for 423 yards passing.
Right.
That was good to see that young man. Well, I was going to say young man. He's younger than me, but it's good to see him come back. You mentioned Andrew Luck. Good to see Andrew Luck getting off to a good start because he's had some struggles, you know, last year. Just whether it be injuries, whether it be the O-line, whether it be his receiving core, they still, the running game still leaves a lot to be desired. But it was good to see him get going. Let me ask you a question, Paris, and I know I'm throwing stuff at you because we didn't really talk about this prior to the show. Carson Wentz, he had a good game.
Right.
How much of that do you put on the Cleveland Browns defense, and how much do you put on Carson Wentz just being a good quarterback?
I'm going to put about 70-30 on the Cleveland Browns being trash. And when he comes to Chicago Monday night, we're going to show him what the NFL is all about. Now that I say that, he'll probably be like 330 and four touchdowns.
Man,
but honestly,
I just you know what that reminded me of, Paris, when you said that. It reminded me of back in the mid '80s when the Bears had the baddest defense in my opinion to ever do it. And I remember thinking, oh man, I can't wait till they get hold of this young guy. I can't wait till they get hold of this rookie quarterback. And when you said it, it took me back there. And as soon as it took me back there, I also got the reality that says this ain't the same defense. But carry on. Continue with what you were saying. I had to throw that flashback out there.
And I think that we as in the Bears are going to be fine on Monday night. But Cleveland is a very inept team. They're a very bad defense. And one thing about rookie quarterbacks is, in a weird way, I think it's easier for them to start out good, because teams haven't had a chance to really digest them, haven't really had a chance to break them down. Now, they say you need about 3 to 4 games of tape before you can really game plan for someone effectively. So at this moment, Wentz is sort of playing with house money. The NFL really doesn't know what he does good and what he doesn't do. So I'll be more interested to see him, I'd say, more like in week 10. Once, he's been through and the league has sort of, now he's got a chance to game plan for him, and we'll see what he has, to store. But the thing with Philly is it sort of took us all by surprise, because it seemed like the game plan was, and I remember us talking about it, he's not ready, why rush him? You have Bamford there, you have Chase Daniels, so we didn't think we would see Wentz for a while. And lo and behold, next thing Bamford gets traded, but then two of them, this guy is hurt. And 2 days later, now he's the starting quarterback.
You know what that says to me, Paris? What that says to me is it goes the complete opposite of what we just said about Fisher. You have a case where the coach said, I see what I have here, and it's not really great. The young fella has shown, and to Fisher's credit, he's a coach. I'm not. Maybe Goff hasn't shown enough in practice that he hasn't shown that he has the ability to run the offense or to lead the offense. So I'll leave the door open for the fact that I'm not an NFL coach. I'll leave the door open for the fact that maybe the kid wasn't ready. But
right.
his track record makes me feel comfortable in saying he just has no flexibility in his game plan. He doesn't want to start the kid. He's not going to start the kid. And he's not going to allow anybody into talking him into starting the kid. That's just my opinion. I could be way off base, Pierce, but that's kind of my take on that. I'll say this, as far as surprises, / disappointments, if you're a team that, and you kind of touched on this earlier, if you're a team that has championship aspirations and you lose to the Patriots with a quarterback that has never started a game, I question your aspirations. Now, that's not to say that Garoppolo didn't have a decent game. It's not to say that the defense didn't do that, the New England defense didn't do their part. But I'm simply saying from a psyche standpoint, from a standpoint of having confidence moving forward, I kind of thought Arizona needed to get that game. And I thought they would. And that's just a real bad look. And it's not so much that they lost, but they kind of looked bad losing. I mean, given they had a rookie cornerback starting on one side. So, I know there was plenty of factors that go into it. But this is a team you might meet again down the road, and they will have the confidence that they beat you with a backup, and they're going to have one of the, you know, best quarterbacks to ever do it coming back in a couple weeks. So that was that. What did you think about – and we're jumping around here, everybody. If you want to get in on the conversation, if you call, then press the 1 button. If you are listening on the website, give us a call, 347-637-3859. Oh, I'm sorry, 347-637-3859. Harris, what was your thought on the gutsy move? And I say gutsy because it's game one. It's easy to make calls like this when you're 6-9 or when you're 2-10. But what did you think? What did you think about the Oakland Raiders going for the win on opening Sunday?
I was thinking to myself, okay, let's tie this thing up. Let's go into overtime. But I guess Jack Del Rio was like, okay, Drew Brees is sort of going through our defense like a hot knife through butter, and I'm going for it. Now, they said that he had predetermined before that drive that if they scored, he was going to go for two.
Yeah,
so,
I heard that.
And, you know, it was good. It was an exciting play. It seemed like a real simple play. You know, I thought it would be like a quick slant or you know, maybe like a misdirection, try to catch the defense going one way, or the classic quarterback rollout throwing to the tight end, you know, drag it in the flat. But they basically threw a jump ball to Crabtree. And he made a hell of a play. So I liked it. It was very game-ish, but I liked it.
I'm not going to lie to you. The Raiders are trying to instill, and it's kind of, you know, it's not the same. It's, I guess it's more of a, the complete opposite of what happened with Arizona. You know, Oakland is trying to instill a sense of winning, and they're trying to instill a sense of belief in themselves and belief that, hey, you can go up against good teams and win ball games. And they went out and won a game that they had, for argument's sake, no business winning. They went and they took the victory. As opposed to Arizona, who, you know, they kind of handed it away. They kind of gave it away. They blew opportunities. So it was good to see. Just as a football fan, it was good to see that play because, like you said, it was a jump ball. It wasn't what you were expecting. If you were going to go one on one, I would have expected that to go to Amari Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but then again, I had to look at the play again. Maybe Amari was double covered. And maybe that was the play. Whoever is single covered, we're going to go to them. And if nobody, if they're doubling both up on the outside, we'll go to the inside to a tight end.
And maybe that's the whole plan because, you know, as we're sitting here thinking, that is the last thing we expected.
It
wasn't a timeout. They didn't give the defense a chance to really set up. It was sort of like bang, bang. And maybe that was half the plan, too, because who would have thought that? You know, because I say usually in that situation it's something quick or, you know, it's Cooper who's having a good game. Nope, you throw the lob to the Crabtree.
And again, I collect tickets on the train from passengers for a living, but the fan in me has always wondered, why do coaches take timeouts and give the defense time to set up? You've practiced your plays over and over and over throughout the week. You should not have to take a timeout with professionals to execute a play. And when you do, you give the defense just as much opportunity to set up for what you're trying to do. So it was a gutsy call. It was week one. He had every reason not to go for it, but he went for it. And I like the call. I was very impressed with the call, and I was impressed with the fact that they actually finished and got the win. So let me look at another game here. Which one was I thinking about? Minnesota. I didn't think Minnesota, I don't want to say stood a chance. It's not like Tennessee is a juggernaut. But I thought Minnesota losing Teddy Bridgewater, Paris, I thought that they would struggle. I thought, and I guess, you know, arguably you could say the defense scored, what, I think it was 2 touchdowns.
Yes.
But I thought that they would struggle, and I think I picked against them. Matter of fact, I did. I'm looking at it here. We both picked Tennessee. They showed me something. And while I'm talking about Minnesota, let me just also add Detroit won. and showed me something, which leaves the Bears as the only team in the North to not win this week. But what were your thoughts on that Minnesota effort? Not even the fact that they won or lost, but the effort
Minnesota,
that they went out.
Minnesota is who I thought they were. I mean, they won a game without scoring an offensive touchdown. That goes more to the ineptness of Tennessee than to me the good job Minnesota. I mean, you got to give them credit for winning, but that just lets me know that it's going to be another long year for Tennessee. Just like with Detroit, that was more about Indianapolis Colts defense just being horrible, just putrid. To allow Detroit to march down the field and kick that last field goal. So in the big scheme of things, you know, hey, you get props for winning, but I still think Minnesota is going to struggle offensively, and I'm going to pick Green Bay to beat them Sunday night in their new stadium.
Okay. And keeping with that theme of defense, or should I say ineptitude, San Diego Paris. What were they at? Three scores, three touchdowns?
Oh, wow.
Against Kansas City?
I don't know where to start on that one. I mean,
they made Alex Smith look like Tom Brady.
You know, it was sad to see Keenan Allen get hurt again. You know, not only because he's a good fantasy player, but, you know, whenever you see these guys come back and in week one they get hurt, you sort of feel for him. You know, the dude was in tears, like, literally. So you can only imagine what was going through his mind. But the San Diego Chargers, my. There's no words for that, really. Good job for check down, Captain Check Down Charlie for engineering that comeback. But San Diego has issues, man. I mean, real-life issues. Now, fantasy-wise, it looks like Danny Woodhead's going to have a good year. And Woodhead's one of those players, right, where he had a good year, and you know why he had a bad year last year? Because I drafted him. And that's why he had a bad year. And now he's back to being Danny Woodhead. He's going to always seem like he's going to score like 20 points a week. Only because I dealt not have him in any leagues. So it's the curse of the Woodhead. But, that was a great game, too, though. If Spencer Ware looked good, man, West looked good, and I know we talked about this on the fantasy show, you know, before we got to the season. And believe it or not, Jamal Charles was on my do not draft list. Because I decided that I want nothing to do with him coming off his knee injury. It was a stable back that Kansas City has. Even when he comes back, I think he's going to be a serious commitment. Now, you can guess right on certain weeks, and if you pick the right guy, then kudos. But I'm not taking a guy in the second round that is splitting carries like that. And that's why they want to draft Jamal Charles. It is obvious that Kansas City will be okay without him when it's making it even worse. It's not one of those situations where it's like, oh, God, we got to get this guy back. He's all we have. No, Kansas City run game looks like it'll be just fine.
And to that point, Spencer Ware, you know, last year I remember because I had both guys in fantasy. I had him and Kendrick West, and you weren't really sure from week to week who was going to be the guy. By the end of the season, Ware kind of, you know, took over the carries that mattered. And then yesterday he basically you know, told Mr. West, you go ahead and sit back on that backup position. I'm going to ride this out while JC gets ready. And and I think, honestly, he had such a good game that when Jamal comes back, it would be in their best interest to keep him to keep Ware involved because, you know, the less wear and tear you put on Jamal, the better it is for everybody in Kansas City. So with that said, Paris, I'm just going to give a quick rundown of our games that we had for this week. First off, we had Carolina and Denver. I had Carolina. You picked Denver. You got that one. We both had Green Bay. We both lost the Buffalo game. We had Buffalo. Chicago, Houston. You had Chicago. I had Houston, so I got that one. Philly and Cleveland. I lost that one. You got that one. Tampa, Atlanta. You won that one as well. You had Tampa. I had Atlanta. We both had Tennessee, which didn't work out well. We both had Cincinnati, which did. You had the Saints. I had Oakland. So I got that one. And then the rest of the games, we agreed on the picks. Kansas City, Seattle. We both got upended by Detroit by picking Indianapolis. We both had the Giants. We both had Arizona. And I'm not blaming us for that. I'm blaming Arizona. I'm not taking any responsibility for that. The Niners are here. We both picked Pittsburgh. And then in the probably the one that we probably should just get beat down about, we both picked the Rams. And they didn't even score. So, yay for us. Yay for us. Man, so with that said, Paris, I think the first week of the NFL season was. Let me see. You got one there. So you got Denver, Carolina. I got Houston, Chicago, so we're even. You got that one. You're up two. I got that one up one. Yep, you're up one. You're up one this week.
Okay.
So we had a good opening week of football. We had some exciting games. You know, we had the Cincinnati Jets game, which was decided by 1 point. We've already discussed Kansas City, San Diego, Kansas City coming back from 3 scores down. The Detroit-Indianapolis game had a nice finish. New York, the Giants and Dallas. Mr. Williams, what are you doing? I'm not even saying that they would have won if he had gone out of bounds.
Right.
But if he had gone out of bounds, he'd have given them a chance to either run another play or go for a 60-plus yard field goal. But they would have had an option. You don't expect that from professionals. And then his explanation after the game, well, I was trying to make a play or whatever it was he said, just made it even less understandable. And then, of course, we had Arizona. The Monday night games weren't really exciting. Well, I'm not even really excited. The Monday night games were terrible football games to watch from an excitement perspective. But it was good to see Antonio Brown do his thing. So, you know, that is what it is. So we had not a great week in picks. You are up one. But from a football standpoint, from an entertainment standpoint, from a fan's standpoint, Paris, I thought it was a really good opening week. You had enough good games, enough excitement. You had, you know, people putting up great numbers. I thought it was a good week. What were your final thoughts on week one, Paris, of the football season? Just overall, just from a fan's aspect.
Oh, good week of football. And, you know, I think the NFL, well, I want to save that for a completely different topic. But, you know, the NFL, and as far as the replay system, I think this is by far the hardest sport for replay. And there always seems to be controversy every week. Because what the other sports have seen to master is that the calls that you look at aren't judgment calls. You know, in tennis, the ball is either in and out. You know, you got basketball, does the ball in your hand, was it put behind the 3-point line? You know, when we go to baseball, hey, did he tag the bag? Did the ball hit the yellow line? Is it a home run or not? Nice and clear and easy and clean. But in football, it's still the whole, okay, did he take a step? Did he have the ball? You know, was the ball moving? It's just the hardest part, and it seems like each week, you know, certain fans in the media ended up spending time talking about calls instead of the game. And quite honestly, I was just tired of it. I just wanted to play football. You know, like the Carolina Panthers. Okay, Cam got beat up, but you know what? Just play football. Okay, if your field goal kicker would have made the field goal, we're not even having this part. But he didn't, and now they should have done this. Man, would you guys just play football? Because the more people cry about this, then they start taking things away from football, then people cry now. That's why I don't say nothing. I don't mind a little hit in the air. Just, you know what I mean? Hey, just leave the game alone. You chose to do it. You know the consequences. If you don't want to play, don't play. If you do play, let's stop all this crying. And I'm really talking about the Carolina Panthers because I'm watching, you know, Greg Olsen and all these dudes. And I'm like, shut up. Stop crying. You guys just lost. It is what it is. You just lost the game. Stop begging for calls. And that's it. I'm ready for week two.
I will say this. My problem with the replay system is that there seems to be no real rhyme or reason with it. I think the NFL needs to figure out what their own rules are, because right. we watch plays where a guy's feet are in and they're like, well, he didn't control the ball. But okay, but then another right. guy catches a touchdown and he gets 1 foot down and the ball is moving and they say it's a touchdown. And I think I blame the NFL for this. I don't blame anybody watching. I blame the NFL because they contradict themselves with every other play.
Well, you know
it's
what?
Not that hard,
know,
man. If the ball is moving,
really.
Here's my thing, Paris. If I'm running the ball and I step out of bounds, I'm out of bounds, right?
Right.
Okay, so if I catch a pass and 2 feet are in, and the ball doesn't move till I hit the ground, once I touch the ground, mm-hmm. I am officially out of bounds. What happens with the ball after that should not matter. I thought this was basic. This is what we did for years. If the ball didn't move before you held them to the ball, once I hit the ground, the time is – I'm out. Once I hit the ground, play is over. If the ball comes out after I hit the ground can't cause a fumble, and it shouldn't cause an incompletion either. That would be the easiest way to do it. Then it's just cut and dry. The ball either was moving or it wasn't moving. None of that – did he hit the ground first? Did he complete the process? It's all a bunch of bull.
But see, to me, I look at it a little bit different because I think the ground can cause a fumble. And a ball
well, but I'm just saying the NFL has a rule that says they can't.
Well, if you are touched and you fall and you hit the ground, it is a fumble. If a runner
true.
Is
but the difference
tripped,
is that when you step out of bounds, the play is over.
Right.
So what happens after
what
the play is over?
What call are you talking about? Because I don't remember a call.
No specific call. No specific call.
Yeah.
I'm just talking overall.
Those are usually good. The only issue seems to be the whole 2 feet.
What's the catch?
Did he make a move? Yeah, that's the only issue. And it's so subjective that you know, there's no rhyme or reason. And I say when you compare it to the other sports is so clean because, it's, you know, it's one or two clean calls. You know, basketball, we get mad when they go to the replay thing, and we're like, come on, man, we can all do this. But it's always a clean call. You know, was his foot behind the line? Did the ball leave his hands before the clock? Nice and easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not really subjective. You know, well, was he fouled here? But then even in the NBA, they still, every now and then, they get into that area because I know I mentioned it to you. I still don't know how they determined that Biambo elbowed Kevin Love in game 6 last year, and if it would have been in game 7, he would have been suspended. So I still don't know how they decided that. So that's my whole point. Whenever you have those judgment calls where it makes it hard, and with the catch rule being what it is, it has now become more of a judgment, you know. And I wish it was but it's open to interpretation. That's what I'm really saying. It's open
to that's where my response comes in, is that it's all of that because they've done it to themselves. It's self-inflicted. It's not
mm-hmm.
like they have this rule that people are confused about. No, the NFL is confused on their rule because so one ref calls it one way. It's like balls and strikes, except worse. It's like, you know, like we look at balls and strikes, and it's very subjective. I can understand why balls and strikes is subjective. Whether a man was in or out should not be subjective. That's just me, but, you know, hey, it is what it is. We'll keep it moving. Would you prefer to talk about a little college football, or do you want to go ahead and get into week 2 of the NFL first? You want to stay here?
I prefer you go ahead on and do the Kaepernick thing, and let's get that out of the way. Because I'm about exhausted
okay.
on that subject.
Okay, well, if you don't want to say anything, I'll just give my opinion. But if you do,
go ahead.
Oh, okay. I thought I didn't know if you wanted to say something. All right, my thing is this, and it's not going to be a very long opinion. Colin Kaepernick, you know, men and women fight for this country. They fight for the freedom. Freedom of choice, freedom of expression, things of that nature. I don't have a problem with people that disagree with Colin Kaepernick. I don't have a problem with people that are upset with Colin Kaepernick. I have a problem with people that are going public and calling him out of his name or telling him in the words of what's the mediocre quarterback that called him garbage? Trent Dilfer. Trent Dilfer tells him to sit down and shut up, which I found to be ironic since we're talking about a man sitting down and a silent protest. I'm sure that went over a lot of people's heads when he said he needs to sit down and shut up, and I'm like, that's kind of what he was doing. He was kind of sitting down and shutting up. So my problem is with people like that that want to, you know, want to go at him publicly with and they have, in fairness, they have a right to. But, you know, Paris, my thing is simply there's a lot of people that don't know the history, and I remember you said that before. There's a lot of people, specifically black folks, that did not know there was a third stanza to the Star Spangled Banner. There's a lot of black people that don't know the history of their own people. I've been in a black history class where I was utterly amazed at the lack of knowledge by brothers and sisters about their own people. With that being all equal, I think what Kaepernick has done, I know what Kaepernick has done, has started a conversation. And in my opinion, the way you move forward in this kind of big picture system is through conversation. Now, I'm a fool. A racist is a racist. You're not going to change a racist by having a conversation. They're going to think they're going to. And that's be it black or white. I don't want to make it sound like I'm talking about just white folks. I'm talking about black folks as well. If you're a racist, you're a racist. And having a conversation is probably not going to change that. Depending on your age, you are what you are. There's not a lot of 35-year-olds that you can convince not to be racist. And there's not a lot of 35s that you're going to convince to all of a sudden become racist unless something really, really good happens to them or something really, really bad happens to them. But I was cool with what Kaepernick did, and I actually support what he did. I support more so than what he did. I support his right to do what he did. It was silent. He's not the one making it a big deal. The media is making it a big deal. Social media is making it a big deal. It's not like he made an announcement. And so my thing, I hope that more black people take the time to learn more about their own history. You shouldn't wait for the media to tell you what you should be upset about. You shouldn't wait for Facebook to tell you, you know, information about your ancestors. You shouldn't wait for Facebook and Instagram to get you up in arms. And another thing is, when you have memes, you should probably do a little, specifically when you're calling out a racist people, you should probably do a little background checking, or at least have an idea that what you're posting is true. I think if people had left it alone and just let him do what he did, I think right now we wouldn't even be talking about it. But it's become like a firestorm. And I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of cool with it. I'm kind of glad that, you know, I've learned a few things once again about some people on Facebook that I thought were friends. You know, I've learned that, you know, some of them are just what they are, associates and people I grew up with. You know, so right. That's all I really have to say on the Kaepernick subject. And I think it's kind of weird that you don't have more, I don't want to say weird, but it's kind of different that you don't have more brothers that are supporting him. And when I say supporting him, I just mean going along with it. And I think I've been in the locker room. You've been in the locker room. I personally don't think it's that big of an issue to the point where it affects team unity. At least I don't, and I'm speaking as a black man. I can't speak for what a white man feels. I can't even speak for what all black men feel, but I can speak as a black man. Him not standing up for it wouldn't bother me, and it wouldn't bother me. I'm sorry, him not standing doesn't bother me, and another guy standing for it wouldn't bother me. I'd just be like, whatever, you both have a choice. But there are some people up in arms, so we'll see where it goes. I think it's going to slowly start to – I think it's going to either the media will stop paying attention to it or it'll start to slow down and people will just move on to whatever the next big story is. That's just my opinion. That's my take on it. So did you have anything else you wanted to say about it, or are you good, Paris?
I'm trying to gather.
Oh yeah, you're back. You're back in. Every time you try to get out, they pull you back in.
Well, you know, you said something that was really key when you said races, and that could be black or white. That's
definitely
very key, and that's a subject and a role that a lot of people don't like to go down. Because sometimes when I hear my own people think, I go, wow, you're just as bad as they are, just in a reverse way.
It's amazing,
so
it's amazing, isn't it?
Think, yeah, so I'm like, if that's the way you think and feel, how can you sort of criticize them for thinking and feeling that way about you in return?
I had a brother tell me black folks can't be racist, Harris.
Yeah.
And I gave him that look of, what? What?
Well, here's my thing, Corey. You know, I said something in our little chat group earlier, and I mean it. You know, just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian.
Nope.
And just because you say cool things on Facebook doesn't make you a righteous brother or sister either. You know,
nope.
The easiest part of anything is to go along with a symbolic gesture.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about here. That's the easiest thing to go along
yes.
with. The hard part is personally making a change, personally being involved, and personally taking stakes and not so much complaining about the issue, because we can all do that all day. But as a wise old man once told me, are you going to be part of the solution, or are you just going to sit here and complain to me about the problem?
Right.
And that's where I am on a lot of this stuff. I'm sort of tired of keeping score. I'm not going to lie to you, Corey. I'm sort of tired of keeping score on who's fans, who doesn't, how do they do it, you know, are they having the fist up in the air, you know.
I'm not gonna lie to you. It's getting to be propaganda. It's almost to the point of propaganda.
It's to the point too now where it's like we seem to be. And the thing about it is his message is being missed. What the man and kudos to Kaepernick, because the brother is trying, and I respect the hell out of what he's done. You know, now I wouldn't kneel. I would stand, and just because a brother doesn't stand, I mean, kneel with him, I wouldn't say that he's not supporting him. He just might not support that action. So I would clear that up, too, and say that just because, you know, he doesn't do that doesn't mean he's not supporting Kaepernick. But
right. We
have gotten to a point to wherein it's become more, at least in my perception, and I could be off on this, but, you know, just from what I see and talking to people and some things you see on the social media, which isn't the best place to gauge, you know, the reaction to a situation, it's become more about the action instead of what he was saying. You know, people talk about who's standing, who, you know, who's not standing. And now we've gotten to this point that as black men, we have gotten to this thing where we attack each other. And that's the part that's most discouraging to me, that unless everybody feels the same way he does, we seem to be so quick and so in a hurry to call somebody a coon. You know, that's the new trendy word. Everybody's a coon. So if you have a difference of opinion of the masses, you're automatically a coon or a sellout.
Yeah.
Which to me
is the wrong way to
go about doing things. That's not right, and that is very counterproductive, and that is very Willie Lynch's. I mean, if we want to go there and do that.
There's more than one way to skin a cat.
Exactly.
And just because you don't agree with his way of skinning it, it doesn't make you a coon, in my opinion. Just not agreeing with it doesn't make you a coon. There has to be more to it, at least for me. There has to be more to it before I go down that road. You know, there's, you know, coon, racist, you know, like I tell people, you need to be real careful, because once you label somebody a racist, there's no taking that back. There's no taking it back. I mean, once you have somebody labeled a racist, there's no taking it back. But I'll tell you what really does tick me off though, and I posted it on Facebook. It's people, you know, that will defend the right to fly the Confederate flag.
Right.
You know, but are angry at him for not standing up. If you're defending the Confederate flag, you have no leg to stand on to be upset at Colin Kaepernick because you're not even acknowledging the flag. You're acknowledging an old flag that we all know has racist connotations and is not even valid.
You know, I hate wasting energy. I don't like wasting time, and I hate putting my head into a brick wall. That's why a lot of times with that certain sector of people, I don't even know why people spend energy trying to reach them. I mean, those certain people that, you know, when Kaepernick posts something, they come out, they call them the N-word, or they say, you know what? Those people are already lost. No matter what you say, no matter what you do, you're not going to reach those people. Those people are going to change their mind. Okay, those people, who are they? They are who they are. To hell with those people. Now, if a white person says to me, hey, man, what's up with this, man? You know, I sort of look at it like this. I just want to throw this out at you, you know, so you can see where I'm coming from. Now, I will talk to that dude all day long because that's a person who clearly has an open mind. You know, and so much time is wasted talking about, and even on social media, going back and forth and complaining about these idiots. Why complain? Who needs their approval? You're getting hot and bothered, it's not going to change their mind. They're going to stay that way. You hit them with fact after fact after fact. Do you think they're going to look at that and go, oh, yeah, you're right. I've been living wrong all this time. No, they aren't. Don't even waste your time and your energy. Put that energy towards something positive, and you just let those people be. Because they are going to be who they're going to be, and they're going to say what they're going to say. It's like, you know, when Cap first did this, you knew he was going to get it on social media. And I'm like, okay, I look at this stuff, but I'm like, isn't this what you expected? You know, is it this sort of what you expect? Did you expect for this black man to stand up and sort of challenge the system and not be met with this amount of bail? Of course
he hasn't complained about it. To his credit, I haven't heard him complain about it. And again, I don't know how planned this was. I don't know if this is something where he sat back for weeks and was like, I'm going to do this, or if it was somewhere he just woke up on that day and said, you know what, today's the day. I don't know. But to your point, you know, I don't have a problem with somebody. I don't need you to agree with me. I don't need lap dogs in my life. I don't need people. I don't need yes men in my life. I don't need you to agree with me.
Right.
But I need you to be open to a conversation. Like, you and I have had conversations where we're on completely opposite sides of the conversation, but we can have a conversation about it because we have a respect with each other that you can go back and forth, and you might end the conversation, you know, when I say you, I just mean, you know, we might end the conversation by saying, well, we'll just agree to disagree. But you're open to a conversation. You're open to another person's opinion. If you're the type of person that sits back and it's your way or the highway when it comes to these type of situations, then you're no better than the people that you're criticizing.
Exactly.
In my opinion. Well, I'm good. I'm good. Until something different happens, I am good on Kaepernick Paris. I don't know if you have anything else to say about it.
No, I'm just good. I just hope the next time we have this talk, then now we have gotten into some of the issues. Now that we are starting to talk about the police force, we are starting to talk about how we can diversify the police force. We are starting to talk about initiatives inside of the black community where maybe we can get more young brothers and sisters to join the police force. We are talking about how we can mandate something maybe nationally that policemen have to have at least an associate's degree, preferably a four-year degree of college, because doing that will help add an amount of professionalism to it. I also think there needs to be a federal mandate on police academies where states need to oversee police academies. Stop having all the cities oversee their police academy, because what just recently happened in Baltimore, there's no excuse for that. I was seeing at the academy teaching officers pretty much how to break the law. That has to happen. The code of blue needs to be broken. And the culture needs to be broken. There needs to be more of understanding, and it needs to be open and honest dialogue between the police force and the communities that they serve. And that's what I'm ready to jump in on. This Sandy City thing, you know, enough is enough. Let's stop keeping score, and let's stop tearing brothers down if they don't chance, you know, choose to stand. Let's not do that.
All right.
All right, I'm ready to go back to sports.
All right, well, let's do it. Let's do it. So I'm going to ask again. Do you want to go to college or you want to stick with the NFL and get into week two?
Let's get into week two.
All right, let's do it. This week, we have some pretty decent matchups, depending on what you're looking for, Paris. New Orleans versus the Giants, I think that will be a very good game. If you're looking for what will be a good game but not necessarily the best teams, Dallas and Washington, I think that will be an entertaining. I don't know if I want to say entertaining. I think it will be a close game. Let's go with that. I don't know how entertaining it will be, but it will be a close game. Pittsburgh-Cincinnati, that should be a good game. That should be a good game. And I'm looking forward to Houston and Kansas City. Oakland-Atlanta could be a good game as well. But that's just me. Is there a game this week on the schedule that, like outside of the Bears, you're a Chicago guy, I'm a Chicago guy. Outside of the Bears game, if you could pick one game to watch, or should I say if you had to pick one game to watch, which game would it be?
Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. Because there is real hate right there. Because they really don't like each other. Like, for real, for real. It's going to be a physical football game. And I know people will say, how can a football game not be physical? It can happen. But this one is going to be extra physical game. You know, if they say, tighten up the chin strap, because, you know, this is going to get a little bumpy. And also, you have enough offense on both sides of the field. You also got to have to score, too. So it won't be one of those 10-7, you know, slobber knockers. It could be a 27-24 type game. So if I had to choose one, and I can only watch one game on Sunday, then it would be that game.
Okay. You know, I can't dispute anything you're saying. I mean, you're looking at two quality teams, you know, well, regular season quality teams. I can't give Cincinnati credit for anything until they actually do something in the playoffs. But you're looking at two quality teams. Like you said, you're looking at some real hate. Both offenses have the potential to put up points in different ways, no less. So, yeah, if I had to pick a game, that would be the game. But it is 8:20 here, so we are almost an hour in. So let's get right to it, Paris. Last week you won. You were up. You're up one game going into this week. So let's do it. Again, if anybody listening wants to get in on the conversation, predictions, don't forget to press the number one button. All right, first game on the docket, Paris. We have, I'm assuming it's this Thursday night tilt because I put them down here in order. We have the Jets and Buffalo. Buffalo looked bad losing last week, and the Jets just lost. Who you got?
I'll go with the Bills. They're at home. Fitzmagic is Fitzmagic. It's a game that the Jets need to win, so I'll go Buffalo because that's just how I feel about Fitz.
All right. I'm actually going to go with the Jets on this one. No real reason other than so we can keep moving and get off of this terrible game. Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, I'll pick this one first. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. I'm going to take Pittsburgh. It's at Pittsburgh. And just for the record, I'm giving all the games visitors first, home team second. So Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, I'm going with Pittsburgh, Paris.
I'm going with Pittsburgh, too. That offense is humming, and I'll take him at home.
All right. Sounds like a plan. Tennessee at Detroit. This is your game. Go first.
I don't really want to pick this game. I mean, if the ground opened up, would anybody notice? That being said,
okay, I thought it was just me.
Give me the Lions at home.
Yeah, it's at home. They're coming off of a good win for them. And let's be honest, they played Indianapolis. That's a good win. I'm taking Detroit as well, Paris, so we're even on that one. Baltimore at Cleveland. This is my game. I'm taking Baltimore. And, again, very similar to the Jets-Buffalo. I'm not really going to even overthink it because it's a terrible, terrible game to have to watch. And I like Cleveland.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to watch him.
Yeah, I would definitely take the home team. I'll take the Ravens.
No, Cleveland's the home team.
Cleveland's
the home team, but I don't think that really stops your. I don't think that changes your choice though.
Nah, that's not
this. It doesn't change it at all. All right, this is your game, Dallas at Washington.
Ooh, this should be a very entertaining football game. Dallas and Washington. We have the rookie quarterback against Mr. You Like That. And, boy, did Washington look pretty putrid last night. I'm going to take the Skins to bounce back at home.
Yep. I'm also going with Washington simply because I just don't trust Dallas. I don't trust their offense yet. So, New Orleans at the Giants. I don't expect Breeze to put up another 400, almost 450 yards. But I am picking New Orleans to win this game, Paris.
New Orleans on the roll is not New Orleans in the dome. We're going to find out if the Giants, all that money they spent on defense, if it was worth it. This will be the game that they really get tested. But then, New Orleans defense is a swinging game. So I expect for Beckham to get on track and have his first big game of the season. I'll take the Giants.
All right. San Francisco, Carolina, this is your game, and you got a really easy choice here.
Panthers.
Yeah, there's really not much to say there. I'm going with the Panthers as well, so we'll keep it moving. Miami and New England. There's every part of me, Paris, that wants to pick Miami. And then there's a part of me that it's in New England. And I'm going to make a choice. I'm not even confident in this choice in any way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take New England. I'm not going to pick against New England twice in a row, man. I'm going to take New England.
I thought about taking Miami in this game, but I figured I'd be getting cute. So I'll take the Patriots at home.
Mm-hmm. Okay, KC versus Houston. KC at Houston. Your pick.
The revenge factor weighs in for the Texans after getting dump trucked last year in the playoffs by the Chiefs, who still is missing Houston on defense. So give me the Texans, which should be a real good football game.
I'm taking the Texans simply because I think KC will have a letdown after that big comeback last week. And I think Houston, having Will Fuller, was it Will Fuller the fifth? Having him brings another aspect offensively to what they can do. I think they're a little more dedicated to the run game this year. So I'm going to take Houston in this one as well. You had Houston as well, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Now, you had the Carolina-San Francisco game, so it's only fair that I get the Seattle Rams game. Easy choice. I'm taking Seattle. I'm taking Seattle. I'm assuming you're taking Seattle as well.
Most definitely.
All right, cool. Keep it moving. Tampa Bay, Arizona. Where are you going? Tampa Bay at Arizona.
Arizona has to bounce back. They just can't afford to start the season 0-2. That would be
horrible. Yeah. I still think
that defense can't get worse. I think they have a better defensive effort. I think offensively, Tampa Bay is a better team than they were last year. At least, you know, I think they are. But I don't think they can slow down Arizona for four quarters. So I'm taking Arizona. Next game, San Diego, Jacksonville. San Diego with the letdown. I'm going to take Jacksonville this one, Paris. I'm going to take a chance, and I'm going to take Jacksonville. I'm going to step out there a little bit on this one. Saying more than a little bit of a step out would be implying that San Diego was a really good team that I was choosing against. So.
We're sharing a brain on this one because I agree with that pick.
Okay. Well, with that, let me see. Let me make sure I get down. Both of us have Jacksonville. Okay. Atlanta and Oakland. Atlanta at Oakland. Your game.
Yeah, the Raiders. The Raiders. Atlanta, Matt Ryan, no. Now, give me the Raiders. Yeah. We should be flying high, and they'll score another 30 points, so I'll take the Raiders.
I am taking the Raiders as well. In Oakland, coming off a big win, maybe a little bit of a letdown, but Atlanta isn't exactly known as a killer. So I'm going to go Oakland. Next game is Indianapolis at Denver. I'm taking Denver. I think the defense does enough to let the offense do whatever it's going to do. So I'm taking Denver.
I feel an upset special here, but I can't pull the trigger. Luck has real good luck against Denver. But that defense is so bad for the Colts that I'll have to go Broncos.
Okay. We agree on that one. Green Bay at Minnesota. This is your game, I believe it was.
Probably my first surprise pick. Most people will probably ride high with Minnesota at home, but what I saw from that offense last week, they're going to have a long day. I don't care if they start Bradford because it'll be his first start. He'll be getting acclimated. You know, I'm sure they'll try to get Adrian Peterson on track. What did he have, 31 yards the first game of the season?
Yeah.
So he has to bounce back, and I think Green Bay will probably put 13 men at the box if that was legal and make whoever quarterback is beat them. And I'm not a believer in Minnesota's offensive weapons. Never have been. So with that being said, I will take the Packers, and I hate saying that.
I don't even know how – you qualified your statement with you're going to surprise some people. I don't think anybody's picking Minnesota outside of Minnesota in that game.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't think. I mean, I can't. I'm going with Green Bay as well. It's not even up for debate. Whew. Now, here's the one that's up for the debate. Philly at Chicago. I picked against Chicago last week. And it hurts my heart to pick against my home team. This game is going to be at Chicago. It's Monday night. Bright lights. If this wasn't a Monday night game, I would not take Chicago. But because it is, and they're going against a rookie quarterback, I'm going to go ahead and roll the dice, and I'm going to roll with our Bears on this one, Paris.
Without a doubt. 24-17. Without a doubt. I feel good about
it. All right. Well, we both got Chicago. This week we only have two games where we differ in opinion. The Jets and Buffalo, and then New Orleans and the Giants. All of the games we agree on. So I have two opportunities to make up some ground this week. All right. We are down to our last 25 minutes or so. Last week, Paris, college football, we had – Really kind of a lame schedule if we're looking at it from an overall perspective. Wasn't really great. But there was one finish of note that I wanted to get your opinion on. And I don't even know if you saw it. I'm sure you've seen the highlights. Oklahoma State versus I can't remember who it was. Some team that had no business Oh, Central Michigan. I read that the referees, the MAC referees, were suspended for 2 games, and I couldn't figure out why. But again, I didn't watch the game; I just saw the highlight. What I found out was that they gave them an untimed down. And you know, okay, after hearing what happened, I can see where the problem was. But just from a finish standpoint, taking everything else out of the equation as far as whether it should have been a play, whether it shouldn't have been, what were your thoughts on that final play, man? Were you? I mean, when you watched the highlights, were you just sitting there with your mouth open? Like, did this really just...
Yeah, but the Oklahoma State coach, that dude, that's another dude that just has bad luck. Oh, mister, you want to pick on somebody, pick on me? I'm a man. Yeah, that guy.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Yeah, I'm a man. You want to pick on somebody? Pick on me. Yeah, him. So it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. But that was a heck of an ending. I still don't know how Central Michigan scored. I mean, I kept waiting for the dude to get tackled. I was like, wow, they really are going to tackle this guy. So it was a great finish, you know. I'm saying that as not being Oklahoma State fan, of course. I'm sure they feel differently, but I thought it was a great finish.
All right. Well, we will keep it moving. This week we have, at least that I saw. I mean, if I'm missing a game, feel free to jump in and let me know. But I off the top of my head, I saw three ranked, you know, three games between ranked teams. First up, we have number one, Bama, at number 19, Ole Miss. We have number two, Florida State, at number 10, Louisville. And we have number three, Ohio State, at number 14, Oklahoma. Let's give the number one team respect. Let's start there. Bama at Ole Miss. Is there any reason for us to pick Ole Miss over Bama?
I mean, you could. Ole Miss playing so tight, you know. Now this is an SEC game, so they're familiar with Bama. Bama has the freshman quarterback, and sooner or later, a freshman quarterback is going to have freshman moments. You know, just hope that it doesn't cost you. But for what I saw from Ole Miss against Florida State, I'll go Bama.
Yes, not really. You tried your best to, you know.
You tried your best to build
that house up, only to blow it down by picking Bama at the end. I'm just gonna be real quick and simple and just say, yeah, I think I'm gonna go ahead and go with Bama on this one. I think they're gonna go ahead and take it. So let's keep it moving. Number two, Florida State. Number 10. Louisville, who you got?
Ooh, Florida State. This should be a good one, but Florida State. Louisville, this is their first real test. Step up in talent for them. We'll get to see Action Jackson against old Frenchie. So, but give me the nose.
Yeah, it's not much of a... I'm taking FSU. I mean, they had a big comeback win. Shouldn't have been in that position, but they were, whatever. But they do have a freshman quarterback. You mentioned a freshman quarterback. They do have a freshman quarterback, and Louisville isn't a bum. But not to do as much build-up as you did to pick FSU anyway, with that setup, with all of that being even pairs, I'm going to go with FSU as well. I think I found something here. Hold up one second.
Coach, right here. We heard a rumor that you were drinking Bud Light during the game. What's the deal with that?
That's not true! So get your facts straight.
Okay, good. We were wondering, you look a little young to be drinking. Don't you have to be 21?
I'm a man! I'm 40! I'm not a kid!
Oh man, those are some great commercials, by the way. Those are some quality commercials. Game pairs is Ohio State at Oklahoma. Now you know where I'm going.
Ooh.
You know I'm going Ohio State. You know I'm going Ohio State.
Yeah.
You know I'm going Ohio State.
Yeah. think you were born in Ohio. But yeah, okay.
Boy.
This is a tough one for me because I feel like this is one of those games that if Oklahoma loses, the season is over for them. And even though
they're ranked 14th, so yeah, it's pretty much a wrap.
And even though I think Ohio State's the better team, I'm going to take Oklahoma because they're desperate. Even though I would rather see Ohio State win, but I think Oklahoma gets this game.
You know, I'm an Ohio State fan. That means that I know that Ohio State starts off slow. I know that early in the season they don't play really good football. They kind of build a crescendo towards the end of the season. I also know that they don't usually have games as big this early, and Ohio State has played big in big games for years. Oklahoma hasn't. And that's really my tiebreaker. JT Barrett is an experienced quarterback. Even though they put up 60, 70 against Bowling Green or whoever it was, they really didn't look great doing it. They started off slow, and then by the second half, they just kind of wore the lesser opponent down. Same thing with Bowling Green and Tulane. So this will be their first real competition. I'm not expecting an extremely high-scoring game. I'm thinking somewhere in the 20s. I'm going to take Ohio State, but I do it with trepidation. But I am going to pick Ohio State. But I think we're going to have a good football game. And that is a Saturday night game, Paris, on ABC. That is the that's going to be a good one. That's going to be a good one right there. Just in time to see it.
Did you just use your Jackson voice?
Yeah, it's
did
a good.
Did you just use your Keith Jackson? Yeah, I thought that was Keith Jackson.
Oh, let me tell you about Bo Jackson.
That man.
Oh man, you know what? Now watch the correlation here. Keith Jackson and what's my man's name? The brother that always calls an exciting game, no matter who the teams are, it always.
Gus Johnson,
Keith Jackson. Keith Jackson got you ready for the game, and Gus Johnson gets you ready for the end of it. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. Keith Jackson was that, man.
I don't care what Gus calls. It's
going to
be a great game.
You know, we'll have to have a segment on that. In the next few weeks, we got to have a segment on the voices of the game and just some of your favorite commentators growing up in football, basketball, baseball, and I have to do a couple of my own as well. And because I think that's a really, especially for, you know, cats our age, you know, me being 45 and you being 45, but saying you're 33. I think that would make for a really decent conversation just to kind of have a throwback and to bring back some memories and to hear some of, you know, to just get a feel for some of those old school voices. We'll have to do that 1 week, definitely. So, let's see. We've talked a little college football. We've talked a little basketball. We talked a lot of NFL. There's really no baseball. You've got the hockey starts. What does it start? Saturday night, I think. The World Cup of Hockey starts Saturday night.
Yeah,
They were up 3-0 on Finland. So, I think the tournament officially starts Saturday. For those that don't know, just we're keeping it sports. 2K, the prelude came out last week. If you pre-order the game, you will be able to download it on Friday. Friday, you'll be able to download the game and start getting some of that in. I thought it was pretty decent. I mean, it's hard to really get a feel for it in a college atmosphere type of deal. But looking forward to that dropping out.
Just real quick sports question. What are your thoughts on Madden so far, Pierce?
It's funny you say that because I was sort of messing around with a little Madden during the show, and I just played a great game against Dallas. I had to score on the last drive, fourth and goal from the five. I hit Alshon on a touchdown. He gets called back for a hold. So now I'm at the 14-yard line. I said, the hell with it. I threw the ball to Alshon again. He caught it. But my defense sucked. Dallas kicked the last-second field goal. At the end of the game, it said, you can sign Alshon Jeffrey. I said, fair enough. I gave him a 4-year, $50 million contract. And the next day, the very first play, he dislocated his hip.
That's funny. Because I started a franchise with the Bears. Well, at Paris, just as information, when I set up my franchise, I turned existing injuries off, right?
Okay.
Now, what I used to do with my franchise, Paris, is I play one game, I simulate one game. Play one game, simulate one game. I don't want to be the reason that we lose a bunch of games or win a bunch of games. I like to see if the talent that I've assembled can do it on its own. By week nine, I had Cutler hurt. I had Grasso hurt. I had Kevin White was hurt. Who else is really hurt in real life? Because it was somebody else that was hurt in real life that was hurt. And I'm like,
is it McPhee?
Who?
Is it Fernell McPhee?
Yes, Fernell McPhee is hurt. So I had to go back and look. Like, I thought I took the. And I'm like, no, they weren't hurt earlier, dude. And here's really my biggest, probably my only complaint about Madden, because I got to admit, I didn't have a lot of expectations coming into it, but I got to admit, I like what I've seen, but it was too many drops, dude. It's a lot of drop passes. A lot of drop passes, man. That's kind of frustrating when you're trying to win a ball game and guys are just dropping passes. It's frustrating. Have you noticed a lot of drop passes? I know it's not just me because I've heard other people say it, but have you noticed a lot of drop passes?
Well, to my bum receivers, because Martez Wilkins just dropped one for me. So if I throw it to my bums, yeah, they tend to put it on the ground, especially in clutch situations.
Alshon has dropped a couple balls, but he's also gone up and made some great catches as well.
Oh, and Alshon against Dallas went down the sideline, 71 yards for a clutch.
I will say I do like the feature of checking my receiver speed versus the defender, because if I see Kevin White on the side, oh, yeah, I'm checking. And if I can come out of that crossing route or come out of that comeback, I'm going straight to the go route. You go right there to the end zone, homie.
I don't even do that. I didn't know you could do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can't remember if it's when the play, you have to hit the pre-play. And I can't remember if it's the right stick or the left stick, but if you go up and move it around to the different positions, it'll show you, like, receiver speed versus the defender speed.
Okay.
And it'll give you, like Kevin White, the one game was +6. And it was like I went to it and I went deep on the first play of the game, and after that they rolled a safety. Every time he went deep, they rolled a safety over, or they started bumping and running. So I was really impressed with the AI on how they saw me get them early in the game with that, and they did not allow it for the rest of the game. They did not allow it. Either that or I'm just Jeff Fisher and I didn't know how to adjust.
I honestly think the AI defense is too damn smart. And myself, it's hard to get anything past these dudes.
It is tough. What do you play on? Do you play on
one?
Do you play on all pro or do you play on?
I
play on
all
pro. I play on all. I don't play on the highest level. Whatever the second level is, I play on the second level. But you know what? Here's another thing that bothers me. Whenever it's third and one, or I don't think whenever it's third and one, but whenever it's fourth and one, it seems like nobody blocks. It seems like there's always a dude that comes right in where I'm running the ball.
Yeah.
And I refuse to run play action on fourth down because I know what's going to happen. I know how that ends up.
Yeah.
Let's just say it doesn't. Let's just say it doesn't end well.
I traded for a team though, so Willie Yo just rolled over.
Well, dude, there's not a lot of talent. You know, the first year of free agency, like I said, I play a game, simulate a game. And I went into free agency and just got a bunch of offensive linemen. I think I signed like three offensive linemen just to have an upgrade. And I signed a cornerback so I could have a little bit of, and again, nobody great. It's like a 75 dude. And
wow, no,
not
no
off
talent,
too
crap.
The first year of free agency really did not have any talent out there. A lot of people re-signed their players. So, but, you know, I went into the draft. I had a good draft, drafted offensive lineman, drafted a tight end, drafted a defensive end. And I made sure that I kept with the techniques. You know, instead of I made sure I drafted a DN that was good in the 3-4 technique, although I'm thinking about switching back to a 4-3. I don't really care for 3-4. I'm thinking about rotating back to a 4-3. So we shall see. We shall see. We are down to our last few minutes, Paris. So before we get out of here, we've had a little Madden talk, a little 2K talk, a little NBA talk, a little NCAA. I mean, a little NFL talk, a little NCAA talk. Even talk a little slight fantasy, just from the standpoint of who did what, who had a good day. What are your closing thoughts on this week, and what are you looking forward to? Who am I kidding? There's nothing really going on. You're looking forward to football, but what are your closing thoughts on this week, Perry?
Well, I'm looking forward to picking up 2K Friday. My wife goes out of town Saturday. My kids will be with their grandmother Saturday, so
Christmas in September.
I am going to wake up. I'm going to go get weight. And I'm going to call in my order to Buffalo Wild Wings on the way back. I'm going to pick it up, and I'm going to either be playing video games or watching sports. And I just might, as a good friend used to say, put some midnight air in my lungs, and I don't have a curfew. So, yes, I'm looking forward to this weekend.
I am looking forward to, I guess, you know, Sunday. I'm looking forward to the Old State Oklahoma game. I'm not going to lie. I'm looking forward to Old State Oklahoma. I'll watch a little bit of the hockey. What did I say? It was the World Cup of Hockey.
World Cup of Hockey.
Yeah, I'll watch a little bit of that. And NHL dropped. So I'm going to play a little NHL, check that out. So this weekend is going to be NHL, 2K, a little bit of Madden here or there. So it should be a good weekend.
And
I'm looking forward.
NBA training camp is right around the corner.
Yeah, it doesn't really do anything for me. I'm good.
Yeah, it does for me. The Bulls media day, September 26th, and we do not have to worry about Derrick Rose breaking his face this year.
See,
so I'm fired.
I was just about to say. You know, normally I look forward to Derrick Rose and hearing him talk about, you know, how he has to be prepared for the rest of his life. And it's really nothing, you know, Joe's not there, Derrick's not there. So I'm not really looking forward to media day like I usually do. Hey, but if you didn't, you saw that post I put in the group. Oh, by the way, this is the Sports Authority and Other Stuff. It's named after a group on Facebook that Paris started called the Sports Authority. Did you see that post that I put in there, the video of Derrick Rose, and he went down and he hurt his knee? And everybody just
kind
of walked around
with
it. Oh, that's right. You did. You were the first one to comment.
You know what? That's great animation. I hope that's accurate of the season, because I thought that was a real good animation clip. The way he got hurt.
I don't know.
It was so realistic.
I don't know who did it. I don't know if that was something somebody put together on their own. I've never seen that in a game where a guy has hurt his knee, grabbed his knee, tried to get up, fell back down, and pulled him, just kind of pulled himself to this. I've never seen that. So I don't know, but it was damn entertaining, real entertaining. I guess that's it, man. That's what I'm looking forward to. We got what you're looking forward to. Should be a good sports weekend. It's good to have football back. Couple good college games, good, some good NFL football,
Well, there's no such thing as – I won't say there's no such thing as bad NFL football, but when we're only in week two, all football is good football. We'll start getting the bad football when we get around week 9, 10, 11, 12. Right now, man, we're just happy to have football back.
Right.
So we don't have to golf on 2, golf on 5, and or golf on CBS, golf on NBC, and tennis on ABC. It's good to have football back, man. It's Thursday, Saturday. It's a Thursday, Sunday, Monday thing. College on Saturday. Some games on Friday night. So that's that. So, again, you know, so the people that called in, we appreciate you calling in. Darvise down there, man. Appreciate you, brother. Check us out. Check the website out, I guess, BDSIRnetwork.com. And we'll be back here next week, same time. We will give our week 2 of the NFL. We'll go over those games. We'll give our predictions for week 3 of the NFL. We're going to give our take on 2K, which comes out again Friday for the early people. So if you want to, all you have to do is pre-order it. You can pre-order it.
Yep.
You can pre-order the hard copy, or you can pre-order it online. All you got to do is go put $5 down on it, and then you can get it. Payday doesn't come till after the job, so that's not an excuse. If you don't have the money now, you won't have it. If you do have the money now, you should have it. You should be all right. So, man, until next week, everybody, we are going to get out of here for my man, P-Dawg, Paris. I'm Corey G. I want to thank everybody for calling in, and we'll catch y'all next week, same time, same phone number or website. We'll get out of here. We'll talk to you later. Peace.
Peace.
I'm home, 6:30 chilling, surfing the internet to see what I'm feeling, laying on Blog Talk, see what they feeling, came across the barbershop, stepped into the building, real life sports talk, real entertainment, might not really keep his ear into the pavement, finger on the pulse of the industry, save it, you don't like the way brag, you ain't gotta say shh. Listen anyway, every Thursday, him and Corey G, tell him what you tripping on any day. Barbershop mixed with talk show, there we go. Give you the best damn show on the radio. $1 million audience meets with your favorite host. $1 million connections, feel the force, most electric.